You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello from Headingley, and it's Simon Hughes and Simon Mann here with the Analyst Inside Cricket, looking back at the second day's play in the second test at Leeds. England, of course, now dominant with a lead of over 100 with a couple of wickets still left, in fact three wickets left, and Sam Curran actually lifting spirits with some fantastic shots at the end of the game. The image of Ben Stokes was in my mind, actually, as he pulled one for four and then drove one down the ground for four. Now, this is the participation test, it's known as. I think because they've tried to focus on the inclusion of the South Asians more, better engagement in the South Asian community in English cricket in general. We've had a few people on TV and radio talking about that. And later in this show, we're going to look at that angle in a slightly different way because we have Daniel Bell Drummond, who of course is of Afro-Caribbean extraction, talking about an event he's got next week to try and get more Afro-Caribbeans involved in English cricket as well. So we'll talk about that afterwards. But first, we should look at England overcoming the Pakistan bowling threat today by actually very effective batting, I thought, by all the players. Everybody got into double figures. Nobody got to 50, which indicates the pitch is pretty helpful still. But I thought there was a real change of mindset from the English batsmen today.
Well, you don't often see a scorecard where everyone's in double figures but no one gets 50, as you say, indicating that there's enough there for the bowlers. And that makes me think that it's going to be really tough for Pakistan in the third innings of the match because England's lead is going to be punishing enough to put pressure on them. They're going to have to score 350 in their second innings to make it difficult for England, you feel. And do they have that in the tank? I'm not sure in these conditions. You just would back Anderson, Broad, Wokes and perhaps Curran to cause too many problems, just to get too many balls to move off the seam or swing for Pakistan to get out of this game.
Yeah, I agree. And you think when you look at that pitch, it's sort of like white burgundy sort of colour, isn't it? Sauvignon Blanc colour. It's not green, particularly from a distance. Not as green as the Lord's pitch. But the ball is still darting and nipping, jagging around. Mohammed Abbas, towards the end of the day with the second new ball, was really making bats look like toothpicks a lot of the time. People just couldn't locate the ball at all. It was quite an interesting little examination of Sam Curran's technique, actually. But he held sway, he held firm, and then, as I say, unveiled a couple of very exciting shots at the end of the day. Joss Butler was almost becalmed, actually, by the nipping around of the ball. But, you know, I just like the way that England approached it today. In the same way as the bowlers deliberately pitched the ball up in the first innings, in Pakistan's first innings, and there was obviously a change in approach from them, I thought today the batsmen really applied themselves in an interesting way, particularly against Mohamed Abbas, who was the big threat in the first game.
They got out of their crease.
They batted out of their crease. In fact, in one case, Keaton Jennings on the first day was actually told off by the umpires for stepping into the danger zone because he was so far down the pitch. And batsmen are not allowed to step into the danger zone just as much as bowlers are not allowed to follow through down into it. But all the batsmen, even Alistair Cook stepping out of his crease yesterday, and today we had Joe Root batting out of his crease and waltzing up the pitch to drive. We had David Milan, who is a real crease-bound sort of routine-type batsman. Even he was batting out of his crease and waltzed up the pitch and straight drove one for four. That was a shot of the day for me.
It was the most extraordinary shot of the day, actually, simply because you just didn't expect it. Coming down the pitch to Mohamed Abbas, it was almost like driving a spinner down the ground in a one-day international.
And then later, Joss Butler sort of unleashed a few of his characteristic, beautiful, flowing shots. He must have the best timing or the best bat in the game because he just seems to effortlessly cream the ball to the boundary. So, you know, all the English batsmen showed signs of their skill and their application. I suppose only Johnny Bairstow really failed. He got into the 20s but couldn't go on. And there was a lot of good balls bowled, really. I don't know what Milan or Dominic Bess, who of course played some nice shots as well and has showed that the 50 he made at Lords wasn't just a flash in the pan. He's obviously got some ability with the bat, but he got a ball that bounced. Milan got one which took the glove. Bairstow got one which just seamed away, pretty unplayable. Wokes as well after a few nice shots. So, you know, there is, as you say, loads in the pitch still. I think if England get any more, 120 lead, they're probably already safe.
Yeah, I mean, the prospect of 150 lead depends how Butler plays in the morning. Curran, it's funny, isn't it? You see a player like Sam Curran, you just wonder what he's capable of in his career. He's only 19, he's 20 on the third day of this match, and Alex Stewart was saying, you know, he's the best 17-year-old he's ever seen. What is he capable of? It's fascinating, it's tantalising. You want to look forward 3 or 4 years or 6 years just to wonder what sort of cricketer he can become, whether actually he's got enough as a bowler to become a test match bowler, or whether actually his batting is going to overtake his bowling and he's going to become a proper batsman who bowls a bit. Just in those two strokes tonight, right at the end of the day's play, and perhaps, you know, quite a lot of the crowd have gone home, but that pull shot for four, to have the confidence at 19 to play that pull shot for four, the last over of the day, and then follow it up with a lovely drive down the ground. I mean, they were exquisite strokes. We talked about Milan, because that was the most sort of astounding shot of the day, the most unexpected shot of the day, but perhaps the most significant for the future. I wonder whether we'll look back at Headingley in 2018 and say, oh yes, remember those two shots of the day that Sam Curran played right at the end, or whether actually sometimes young players, they burst onto the scene, everyone thinks they've got all this talent at 18, 19, and then they don't go on to produce a top career in any sport. Sometimes you see it at football, you know, wonder kids, don't you? Oh, there's a wonder kid at whatever club. Real Madrid had a wonder kid, and Martin Odegaard, who was signed at 16 from Scandinavia, and you know, his career's gone nowhere. It's tantalising, isn't it?
I think if he's got any sense, he'll be a batsman, because bowling is just, it's not worth it. I mean, if he bowls for the next 10 years, he'd be about 5'4". Yeah. So it's such a difficult thing. If you've got the potential to be a batsman, and God, I wish I had, be a batsman, because it's a batsman's game. All right, so batsmen have the vicissitudes of life, are tough. Sometimes they get a good ball, they get a run of low scores. But somehow, I'm sure batting is actually more fun. I mean, there's a little bit of stimulation in bowling the perfect outswinger and making the stump cartwheel out of the ground, but it happens so seldom that I think I'd recommend anyone be a batsman.
The best combination, I think, in cricket is to be an all-rounder, but a spinning all-rounder.
Yeah.
So your batting practice, your strong suit. So someone potentially like Dominic Bess.
Shadab Khan.
Or Shadab Khan, who looks a really exciting young cricketer. And Bess today, we haven't mentioned him very much so far. He actually has made the top score for England. 49, really disappointed to get a good delivery that bounced them. Shadab, again, just creating a really good impression again. The test will come, because his main job is to bowl teams out in the fourth innings, hold an end in the first innings he bowls and bowl them out in what, third or fourth innings. Not easy as a young spinner. We got a big break now between this test match and the next test match, 2 months. You know, you wonder whether he's even going to be in the team for the first test against India, and that really will be a test for him when he comes up against those top class Indian players who are excellent players of spin.
And talking of spin, I suppose the Asian engagement is one way of English cricket getting better spinners, more players who can really rip the ball, like Shadab Khan, like Adil Rashid, like even Moeen Ali. You know, we want to get more of those cricketers.
Or Amir Verdi at Surrey as well.
Amir Verdi at Surrey, exactly. You know, we want to get more of those cricketers. But what we also want, if we want to be a force in the game, is more quick bowlers. And where did the quick bowlers come from in the 1980s? Mostly from the Caribbean community. And even now, you look at the two of the most exciting quick bowlers in county cricket. Chris Jordan, who I suppose has, you know, had a bit of a flirt with England Test cricket, probably won't be considered again for a while. But Jofra Archer, yeah, if he becomes English in 2 or 3 years' time, he's the quickest bowler in the IPL, and he's a very exciting prospect. Now, what English cricket needs is more of those types of cricketers as well, like who played in the 1980s, and that's where Daniel Bell Drummond comes in, the Kent opener, from Caribbean extraction, I suppose, and brought up in London, and he's got an event the 7th of June, which is a festival of cricket aimed at the Afro-Caribbean community in Deptford, at Deptford Park. It's mainly for 7 to 10-year-olds, but I'm sure ages round that are also welcome. And he explained to me exactly what the idea behind this festival is.
Obviously, I'm from that community. I'm from South London, the Caribbean background. So, yeah, I did some interviews and a piece with Sky and a documentary they made last year as the West Indies were over. And they touched on the fact that there was a lot more Afro-Caribbean cricketers during the 80s and 90s. And it's very scarce now to see many players like myself or Michael Carberry, etc., etc. So, yeah, it was just quite close to my heart. I thought that I wanted to sort of give something back to my community where I was from, and I also know full well that my schooling, which wasn't local, I went to two very good schools in Dulwich Prep and Millfield, that I knew I was privileged to go to those schools, and I know a lot of people in these areas aren't, so I'm just trying to help really in any way I can, get more people playing cricket like myself, and then see what I can do for the community. It's basically a festival at Deptford Park. So that's a local park on the north side of Lewisham. And yeah, we deal with 14 schools at the moment. And we're inviting the sort of best cricketers or the ones who like it to come down and play a tournament there throughout the day. And yeah, we've invited lots of different people. I mean, everyone's welcome. But I just think it would be a good day to try and showcase what we're doing. We've got a lot of different people coming. We've got, obviously, Paul Downson from Kent. A lot of the other Kent coaches are coming. A lot of ECB people are coming to the event. So, no, it's going to be a good day. Obviously, there's a competition for the kids, and then there'll just be a little presentation about what we're working on and the problems these boys and girls will potentially face growing up, and why there hasn't been that influx of people from that background coming into cricket full stop, let alone professional cricket.
What's your answer to that? Why is it that not more of that community have been playing cricket?
It's a good question. I mean, there's many different reasons. It's a social thing, and I think sometimes money can come into that. Cricket is a very inclusive sport, but I think in some of these areas, especially throughout the sort of Afro-Caribbean community, I think it's a lot easier to play football and these types of sports growing up in the park. And I think cricket can get left behind, but there's many different reasons. I think role models is another one, and also just good clubs that they can have access to, because the side of Lewisham that we're working on, there's no cricket clubs nearby. All the cricket clubs are on the other side, going into Kent, into Bromley area. So a lot of the kids haven't even played cricket before. So we just wanted to start at quite a young age and get them accustomed and familiar with the game, and see if we can give them some enjoyment from it.
So that's a great initiative from Daniel Bell Drummond, all off his own back, which is a fantastic thing to hear. He's also playing extremely well for Kent, by the way. I mean, he probably would have been a sort of outside chance of getting a call up for England as an opening batsman, but maybe playing in the second division all the time and actually having a tricky start of the season this year has just hampered his chances. But that's a fantastic effort from Daniel, and I hope that there are lots of people come along of all communities, actually, just the more the merrier, around that kind of part of London. So that's a great thing to do. Meanwhile, England can sleep well overnight with the idea of building on, what, a lead of 120, hope to get 150, and we'll see how they get on tomorrow and report back at this time.
Yeah, not absolutely inconceivable that England could win this game in 3 days if the weather behaves itself on the third day. Goodbye for now from Headingley.
Thanks for listening.
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.